All right, guys. Hi, y'all. Happy day after Christmas, Mansions. It is quite different in here than it was in here last night, isn't it? I think it's a little cooler in here. It got a little warm yesterday. I had to run the air conditioner. I did. I had to turn the air conditioners on in the building to keep the temperature, you know, low enough so that we wouldn't all be going, it was wonderful. We were packed to the gills in here. Wall-to-wall people. I've never seen that many people crammed into this room before. We've had some busy, like, distribution days where we've had it pretty packed in the back. And the carnival, too. But, like, the whole room? I mean, I had to direct Santa in which direction to come into the room. I'm like, at first I was like, you need to go down the right side. And then I tried to go down the right side, and I went, nope, that's not going to work for Santa. Because, you know, he's got a bowl full of jelly. And so then I was like, no, you need to go down the left side. And I was like, well, it's better than the right side. That's what he's got. But it all came together, and, man, it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of toys that we gave out last night, and I was just really excited. If you got some pictures and you want to share them, I'd love to see that. If you want to throw them up on the Life360 Facebook page, that'd be awesome. If you could put them up there, and then we can share those. And I'd love to just, you know, spread the word about what's going on with our church and what's happening, and it's really fun. I have fun with these things. So I want to give a big, huge shout-out to one of the people in this room that helped bring this whole thing together. Malachi. No, I love you, but it's your mom. Aw. Thank you, bud. Yes, my wife is amazing. She has, if you know about her life and her schedule right now, she has a beyond full-time schedule. And she still comes in and she still knocks it out. We have to support each other sometimes through these times. But I am always just so amazed at everything that my wife does in order to help bring this stuff together. And you're awesome. Let's give her a big hand. Yeah. And this year we did something a little different than we did in past years. We did voting instead of judges because I figured that was going to be more objective. You know, I know some parents would be like, my kids is the best. But it turned out that we did have an overall winner, and that was Abigail. I didn't even vote, so I didn't even stuff the ballots, I promise. But I was so impressed that, you know, we did. It was really cool. We have some really good houses. We still have some leftover houses in the other room. If you want to go take a look, they left them here. So we'll keep them on display, I think, for today. And then they go the way of the buffalo, which are coming back, by the way. So maybe not the buffalo. Go in the way of the dodo. There. So, all right. So what's up next? What are we doing next? Do you guys know? Yes, there's distribution day next. Absolutely. So December 19th from 11 to 1, we have distribution day. Now, this is going to be a very, very special distribution day because not only do we have the food and we have the cleaning supplies and the clothes, we have toys. And so we want to make sure that we get the word out to folks that are in need in our community that, hey, come get some toys for your kids for Christmas. I don't have any wrapping paper, but, you know, hey, we've got toys. So we want to help out folks, and, you know, who knows? Santa might have some extras on hand that he might deliver to the houses later. You never know. So, cool. And what happens after that? No, not quite. Candlelight service, Christmas Eve candlelight service right here, 7 p.m. Christmas Eve. That is a Tuesday night. How many guys are like, Tuesdays? I have so much going on Tuesday nights. Good. Then you'll all be here. Sweet. yeah, so that's really exciting. I'm excited for that. The next big event that we have starting up in the new year is going to be Financial Peace University. That's right. January 8th at 7 p.m. is when we start. This is going to be on Wednesday nights. It is $90 a family. You can pay $10 at a time. I'm more than willing to let you guys break up the payments so that you can be here, learn, figure out great ways to handle money in a godly way. My wife and I have gotten out of so many thousands of dollars of debt just by having a plan. And this plan, Financial Peace University, is amazing. It works with biblical principles and God's plan for how money should be handled, and even helps set you up for retirement. And if y'all are in that retirement age, it helps you all keep comfortable or more comfortable. So, what's that? You're close. I remember when I was in the Army, I was about 23, 24 years old, and I had a guy come in from the Army Financial Services, and they were talking about retirement. And they did this like scare tactic thing when they were like, okay, this is how much money you need to save every single year in order to live a comfortable life based upon our projections for when you become retired. And I went, oh, okay, what's that? They said I had to save like $150,000 a year. A year. And I was like, I don't even make $150,000 a year. I'm a soldier. So we figured out a couple things. First of all, I'm not going to have a big, huge mansion and nice cars when I retire, because you know I didn't have $150,000. You know how when you're younger, you're like, I'm going to have all this cool stuff when I get old, and you know I'm going to have a blimp in a football field or something. I don't know. Yeah, I grew out of that. I just want to have a nice place to be with my family and grow old. So I'm happy I'm here because I want that place to be here. So, all right, after Financial Peace University, we have January, then we have February. And what happens in March, kids? Fine Arts Festival, that's right. Fine Arts Festival is coming up on March 28th and 29th, and that's going to be at Evangel University, and it's going to be pretty sweet, pretty awesome. I encourage every teenager, everyone from sixth grade and up, if you've got skills and you are interested in displaying your skills, and you want to have a chance to win scholarships with your skills, come see me, and we'll get you guys signed up for fine arts, but we got to get that done real fast. Otherwise, we may not go to fine arts. If I don't have anyone to take, I ain't going to go. So, all right, well, tonight we do have Warriors at the Well, the women's life group, so if you would like to come tonight, 7 p.m., it's pretty awesome, so be there. This is for adult women only, so 18 and above. And then we have divorce care on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. So, all right. Cool. Well, if you don't have the Church Center app, where are you at? You need to get the Church Center app so you know what's going on in the church. You can see our calendar. You can do all of our signups and all that cool stuff through the app. Last night, we had several people actually register in that app for the very first time, because they registered for Christmas Mansions. So it's really, really nice, because we get an opportunity to get to know people, and they get to know more about what's going on here at the church. So, yeah. Well, kiddos, it's time. All right. Miss Leah is going to go ahead and take our students to the fellowship hall. And after kids' church, there'll be a couple surprises, right? Yeah. Yes, we have more unicorn poop. Does anyone else want more unicorn poop? It's slime. It's literally called unicorn poop. I'm sorry, I did not label it. I am not in the marketing department. Unicorn poop. So, We decided that we're going to give a box of unicorn poop to Marley today for her birthday. If you see when church is all over and you see young Marley, wish her a happy birthday. She's getting older. 3? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, all righty, guys. Well, we are going to go ahead and pick up our offering this morning. Elizabeth is going to be our Vanna offering bucket. Oh, sorry, the slide. If you are interested in giving online, you can go to life360.org/giving, or you can use that wonderful QR code, which might be very difficult to scan because it is kind of small, but if you zoom in, it works, believe it or not. So you can always use that. And then, of course, we have the bucket, and yeah. So, all right. Well, I gave you guys my Christmas Mansions update. Do you guys have any really cool memories from Christmas Mansions? My friend came. Your friend came, okay. Anyone else have some memories you want to share? I won stuff. You won stuff, yes. Did any of your kids, like, eat most of the candy and it didn't end up on the house? You ate most of the candy. Well, you have to keep up with the kids who are on a sugar rush, right? And you can't just have one. Is it a good story? No, you may not tell that story. You may not. All right. Well, we are going to continue on with our series, so let's move on.
We walk through the Christmas season steeped in happiness. Under warm, glowing lights, gifts wrapped and labeled, pies and cookies prepared. But if we peer through all the extravaganza, we'll hear the soft cry of a shivering baby and feel the prick of divine joy. Our homes and streets are lit with ornaments of the season, but Jesus came to light up our souls. We long for joy every single day of the year, the kind of joy that still lingers when there's no light, when the gifts from the world have stopped and the music just sounds like noise. God gave us an unexpected joy that fills empty spaces and is easy to find if we're willing to look. It's a joy that crosses boundaries and breaks down walls, that finds the lonely on hilltops and the curious in faraway lands. It delights in arriving into unexpected places and circumstances, like a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. Let me, Lord, spread that kind of joy to the world. Amen.
You know what I find interesting? And it's really, it came as kind of an unexpected thing. The title reminded me of something. I was here last night, and there was a table right here. And they had it was a family, and they had a bunch of kids, and they were having a good time. And one of their kids came over here and picked up Jesus and was like looking at Jesus. And then mom said, "Put Jesus down." And it was like that, crooked. But that's okay. I found that very unexpected because there's animals over there. There's an angel over there. There's even a guy holding an animal. There's a woman. There's a man. There's a couple wise men. But the kid picked up Jesus. I found that very interesting. A very unexpected thing that happened. And I was like, hey, this kid gets it. I think that's one of the cool things about having God come down in flesh and be born as a baby. You know, I was having this conversation with my daughter the other day, and you. And and I was I came to this realization, and I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but Jesus was a baby. He did baby things. They're going to fill in the gap of what I said. But here's the thing, is that he cried when he was wet. He cried when he was hungry. You know, and I look at, I've had five babies in my house now. And you learn the cries and all this stuff. And I'm wondering to myself, what did Jesus' cry sound like? Was it peaceful? Was it joyful? What does a joyful cry sound like? Have you ever thought these thoughts? Like, you get real deep, like, into this, like, rabbit hole of thoughts, and it's like, wow, this is really, really strange how you think about this stuff. It's like, Jesus went through puberty. You know? Jesus had his first step. Jesus had his first job. Someone had to teach him how to ride a camel or ride a donkey. Sorry, they didn't have cars back then. You know? This is kind of interesting. Like, you know, have you ever thought about that? Like, God, you know, the creator of the universe, came down here to do baby stuff and to grow up as a kid. Let me ask you a question. Of everyone in this room, and I think I know the answer because I know my answer, and I'm pretty sure that's the same answer for everyone. Do you remember things from being a child? Like anything, even being a teenager? I'm talking like 17 and under. You remember stuff from being 17 and under? Look, you younger ones up here, look around. Everyone's going like this. We all remember those times in our lives, those things that have stuck in our brain. And I'm like, Jesus had those thoughts. It's pretty amazing, I thought. I was like, wow, God, you did all of this. You literally lived a life just like mine. Well, similar, different time frames. And yet you didn't sin. Isn't that amazing? I mean, honestly, I would love to have lived my life without sin, because that would have been pretty awesome, but I can't imagine my life without my bad times either. But despite all the bad things, Jesus still came. Despite all the disobedience of Israel and Judah and everything that led up to and even beyond the birth of Jesus, God still showed up and then experienced a pimple. Now, did he treat his pimples or just touch them and they went away? I don't know. You know, these are questions we'll get answered in heaven. But I got this thought. I'm like, you know what? That's really awesome that God lived life. He gets us. I know they have those ads out there. Don't go to the website. They're not right, folks. But they get the point across that Jesus gets us. And honestly, I can draw some joy from that. Can you? I can get some joy from the fact that, you know, God dealt with the junk that I'm dealing with. I mean, it was his modern day equivalent of what we're modern day living out now, but he's been through this. He's had to go on family trips before. I mean, can you imagine him and James in the back seat, and James is punching his big brother and kicking him? Jesus never did that, I'm sure, because he was sinless. Could you imagine being the brother of Jesus? I mean, talk about jealousy. You just never do anything wrong, do you? Well, yeah, because I'm the Son of God. I mean, how would you like to live with that? Your brother is the Son of God. But eventually his own brother came to believe in him. Right? Anyway, we're talking about joy today, and it's unexpected joy. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 24. But before we get there, I want to talk about this. This is the third week of Advent, and it symbolizes joy, and it comes with the idea and the concept that Christ is coming. We need to have joy that this block between us and heaven is going away. It is ending because Christ is coming. In Matthew 2, the kings or wise men, if you want to call them that, were following a star, and they were filled with joy for their journey because they knew they were going to find Messiah. Isn't that cool? Okay, I said this last night, and I'll repeat it again, because I also said it last week, and I love this thought. Before Jesus was even born, God rearranged the cosmos so that a star would be very, very, very bright and get the attention of these wise men who lived hundreds of miles away, to have them to have this star be so convincing to them that they would start a very long multi-day journey towards Israel. They would go to the king's house because they thought, well, if the Messiah is coming, it's got to be from the king, right? But that's not where the star led them. The star led them to Bethlehem, a small town. And it led them directly to a stable. Where a mom and dad had just had a baby. Can you imagine that? That's pretty far out there, isn't it? And you're like, wow, that's impossible. It's not. It's absolutely probable and impossible. And God can absolutely do that, can't he? And he did. In Luke chapter 2, the shepherds observe something pretty awesome. They're just sitting there watching their sheep one night, and all of a sudden, heaven opens up out of nowhere, and the whole choir of heaven is there. And the shepherds are filled with great joy because they've been chosen to go greet the Messiah. I mean, you think about it, like, I'm like thinking, okay, let me, what would be the modern day equivalent of that? I'm thinking like an office worker that's there on the weekend and no one else is there and you're there because you have to be there to finish up the paperwork or whatever it is. It's totally quiet and chill or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, heaven opens up in your office. Have you ever spent a late night at your office before or at your job? And it's really, really quiet. It's the end of the night and you're trying to get things wrapped up. You're trying to like, I want to go home. I want to go to bed, you know. And all of a sudden, heaven opens up and interrupts your life. Wow. I mean, seriously, wow. I mean, could you imagine being a student in high school and you're sitting there in math class just doing your tests and your quizzes, and all of a sudden, heaven opens up? I'm seriously thinking they would still make them take the rest of the test before releasing them to go greet Messiah. But still, I'm like, wow. But today we're going to look in Scripture to an area where joy is abundant. There's a lot of joy happening. And we're going to be looking in chapter 10 of Luke today. And it tells us a story about how when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples to minister all over the countryside, and we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, where it talks about the results from that missions trip, okay? So he sends these 70 disciples out, and so you got the 12, like, main disciples that we all know of, and then we have the other unnamed disciples, because we don't know their names, because I'm sure one of them was Jeff. And so they all went out. They all did ministry in the name of Jesus out and about. Okay? So we're talking like a dry run for the church. Okay? You got that? Dry run for the church. This is a soft open for the church. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Let's see how it went. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them. "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Do you catch that? All right. At the same time, Jesus, you know, God in flesh, was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then, when they were alone, he turned to the disciples, and he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. I tell you, many prophets and kings longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." So while the shepherds rejoiced that Christ was being born in Bethlehem, and while the wise men rejoiced in their journey to find the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself encourages his disciples to find joy in something other than the memory of him in a manger. More than what the disciples saw on their trips, the miracles, the exorcisms, or the evidence that they saw of the devil being beaten at every turn because of Christ's name. Jesus told them to rejoice, not because of the stuff that had happened, but because their names are registered in heaven. All right, amen. There we go. I got it. So powerful was this statement from Jesus that he himself, being God in flesh, is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, who is part of the Trinity, is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. He's so overjoyed, he exclaims how amazing his Father is, that he has set everything in place for him. And it's an incredible high point for his ministry. Why? Why is this such an incredible high point in the ministry for Jesus? I said it right there at the beginning. Do you guys remember what I said? Because the dry run for the church worked. Because they had learned the most important lesson. It isn't about the healing or the casting out of demons or the miracles. It's about people coming to faith in the Lord. See, there's more joy in heaven when one person comes to faith than anything else. Did you know that? There's more joy in heaven when someone commits their life to Christ than when a leg grows from a stump. That may get us charged up, but for God, that's like, this is Tuesday. This is normal for me. Luke 15:7-10 says this. He says, it says, in the same way there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. When one sinner gives their life to Christ, there's a party. She had to light her lamp. So guess what that means? What is it outside? Dark. And she's sweeping her whole house, and guess how long that might take? Might take hours. So then she finds the coin, and she calls all her friends. I can just imagine this lady picking up the phone at 2 a.m. and going, y'all got to get to my house and something really cool happened. Okay, they didn't have phones. But can you imagine her knocking on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, you got to come see this. I found my coin. Most of us would be like, tell me about it in the morning. Wouldn't we? I mean, she's full of joy, but I'm tired. It's 2 a.m. Right? Or I'd be like, why couldn't you sweep your house during the daytime and found your coin then? Because then I'd be more apt to, I don't know. But I mean, it's different for them. This was important. This meant that she could continue to live. She could continue to have a house. She could continue to live the life that she has. So, I'm a Pentecostal, which means I love the gifts of the Spirit. I speak in tongues. I love seeing miracles. I love hearing the words of knowledge and prophecy. I believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit and all the power that the Holy Spirit has, and it exists still today and is available for every believer. Okay? But, and here's the big but, you know what brings me the most joy of all? When someone repents and comes to Jesus. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing better than the saving power of Jesus Christ. The repentance of sinners. Them turning back to God. Them having a relationship with God again. Or maybe for the first time. Miracles, honestly, may grow a leg. And I know folks that have like told stories about, you know, like my legs were like this, and then God's healed it, and now I'm like this. I've spoken, and when I had one day, I was, and I know I've said this story a couple times, but I'll say it again. I was on the phone with my mom, and she could barely speak. And then I prayed for her, and then she could speak. Okay? Pretty cool. Man, I got chills on that one. I'm literally at work on a Tuesday. I don't know why I'm picking on Tuesdays. I'm picking on Tuesdays today because it's Christmas Eve next week. I'm at work and doing just my normal thing. I call my family up during lunchtime or whatever it is, and my dad answers the phone. Mom can't speak. We don't know what's going on. Da 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 da. They're on their way to the hospital. And I get on the phone with my mom, and she's trying to tell me that she loves me, and she thinks the worst. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I did. Right there in our break room, I prayed for her. I didn't light any candles or, you know, play any worship music ahead of time or anything. I literally had just been working on my computer at my office. I had an office job. I answered phones and put in data and all sorts of boring stuff at a cubicle. But I prayed for my mom. And during our conversation, her voice cleared. That's pretty cool. I've been on missions trips where we were praying for folks, and we had one young man who was completely blind, and got to go home without glasses. He had like those cloudy eyes, like, you know, the white ones that you can't see. Like they don't have like the black area of their eye. Yeah, he had it now. That doesn't just happen, folks. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing ever got me more excited about what we were doing than when a little kid would give their life to Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you right now, one of these days, that young man's going to pass away. And his healed eye ain't going to matter much. My mom, I love her, but she's gone. She's in heaven. She's never going to use that voice again. She has a new body, new voice. New voice. She'll have a new body, new voice. A perfect, healed body. It doesn't need to be healed because it's perfect in the first place. She's got a heavenly body. That's what's to come, guys. Do you get it? I love all these miracles. I think they're wonderful. I love seeing cancer disappear. I love all this cool stuff. I love praying for it and seeing it happen. And honestly, if you want prayer and you got something going on in your life, I want to pray for it. I want to see that happen for you. I do. I absolutely do. If you got depression, God can handle that. You got anxiety, God can handle that. You got money problems, God can handle that. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter if that happens to you in the long run if you don't know Jesus. And I just broke two of my rules. Two of my pastor rules is I will never slap the pulpit and I don't yell, but I just did it. And guess what? I only do that when it comes to salvation. I didn't do it for anything else. Because I want you all to get this point. Are you catching me? You catching what I'm pitching here? Nothing brings more joy than a soul saved. I said it like 30 times. I did. But why is this so important? You know, I got time, right? I can live my life how I want right now because, you know, I'm probably not going to get in a car accident on the way home. I'm probably not going to die. Jesus is probably not going to come back before, you know, I get home or before I'm 70. Gets closer every year. Some of y'all, it's behind y'all. Y'all got 90 to look forward to. We don't know what can happen. We don't know what aneurysm can pop off in our heads. And I'm not trying to, I don't want to scare you. But I'm just going to tell you, this life is broken. And we don't know what bad things can happen in this world to us. So let me be clear. You ain't got time. You think you got time? You don't got time. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said this. It's either C.S. Lewis or Bonhoeffer. I can't remember which one it is. Yeah, it's C.S. Lewis because he's the one that converted. He said, you know, you can believe in Jesus or not. You can believe in heaven or not. But as for me, I'd rather believe in Jesus and believe in heaven and be wrong than to not believe in Jesus and not believe in heaven and be wrong. Let that sink in a minute. So many of us in this world go through life assuming that heaven is just going to happen to us because we've been nice. Can I tell you something? That's not what the Bible says. What gives God joy? That you're nice? No, it's repentance. It's giving your life to Christ. It's asking him to be Lord and Savior of your life. It's believing that what he's done on the cross matters. So, go through your life thinking, well, if I'm good enough, the scales will go in the right direction. I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one part in the Bible that talks about scales, and it's all about being truthful and honest about measurements and weights. It has nothing to do with the ultimate destination for your spirit. That's it. There's no grand scale up there in heaven. God doesn't judge based upon the weight factor on each side of a scale. He looks at your he looks at your history and says, there's sin, you're guilty. Got one? You're guilty. Done. The wages of sin is death. I read that somewhere. How much sin? Did it say sins? No. The wages of sin, singular, is death. You ever committed a sin? What do we earn? You earn a wage by doing something, right? Well, if you commit a sin, you've earned death. And no matter how much life you earn, you've still earned death. You only have to earn death once for death to be a thing, right? This is not Super Mario Brothers where you have three lives. This doesn't work that way. This is IRL. The younger ones got that in real life. This is real life, folks. I used a video game reference, so I used a video game phrase. Sorry. I'm trying to be hip and cool. Can I share something with you from Revelation? Yeah, you didn't know we were going to go to Revelation on a Christmas service, did you? I know, right? It's so cool. Here we go. Revelation 19, 6 to 10 says this. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of a mighty ocean and its waves, or the crash of a loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Let me set the stage here. Guess what, church? We're the bride. The bride of Christ is the church. Do you understand? Do you get it? All right. So we got our place here. I know. Sean, I get it. I'm thrown off by being a bride too. Okay. She has been given the finest pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, the angel. But he said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Whoa. Believers, we're equal to the angels. In fact, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that when we get to heaven, we get to judge the angels. Ooh. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus, okay? So all the prophecies, everything that surrounds the Bible, everything that comes into there points to Jesus. Bible college answer 101. What's the answer to every question? Jesus. Okay. Yes. There's more to it, obviously. But my point is it all points to Jesus. But I want to focus on something real quick. Someone read that out loud real quick. Go ahead. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Ladies, I've never been a bride. There you go. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do brides wear white? Purity. Purity. Brides wear white because of purity. It represents what? Good. And here it says it talks about the good deeds of God's holy people. The bride of Christ is us. But what about those of us around in this world who have sin? See, once we repent of the sin is gone. Here's what's happened. If you read Revelation, because we're in Revelation 19, a lot of Revelation has already happened by now. Do you know what's happened? Those that are unbelieving in Jesus, those are those of us in this world that are sinners, unrepentant, unbelieving, unplacing God as priority and Lord of their life, they have been called out. Do you know what the word called means? They've been removed. They've been removed. What do you do to a chicken when it stops laying eggs? You cook it. Right? What happens to a created person when they stop doing the good deeds for Jesus Christ and don't believe in him? They get cooked. These folks are separated out, waiting for punishment. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to understand that this is a true statement for those folks and for demons. Satan and his followers, all those sinners, have been set aside for punishment. See, that happens after the wedding. Not long after this passage, it talks about the eternal punishment. That's scary stuff. Remember how I was like beating on the podium here, and I was like all about joy and repentance and coming to Jesus, and I was super excited? Guys, you don't want to be on that side of things. You don't want to be called out, set aside. You don't want to be fried chicken. I want to see everyone that I know, everyone that I interact with, I want to see them as part of the bride of Christ. My daughters, my sons, my wife, my future grandkids, my friends, my enemies. People that have tried to kill me. People that have spoken bad about me. I could fill up that list just like y'all could. But I want to see them all in the bride of, as part of the bride of Christ. Look, they don't have to come to our church. Our church, this building, this group of folks here, we are not the bride of Christ. We are a part of the bride of Christ. And I've said this 100,000 times. Look, I don't care if you come to our church or not. Well, I do care if you come to our church, because if you come to our church, I care about you. And if you come to any church, I care about you. But let me be clear. If you belong at a better church, at another church that's better than where you fit here, go. Seriously. Like, be committed to that church. Grow where you're planted, folks. Seriously. I am not interested in stealing people from other churches. That's not what we do here. Okay? Now, people willingly come here, I ain't going to stop you. And I'll be like, all right, let's get to work, because you're a believer in Jesus and we're going to work for it here. We're a church that works hard. We use our gifts here. You're going to get used here if you're here. You will not be bored. will you? I mean, I'm looking around, and you came here, what, 3 weeks ago? And what happened? I said, all right, you know, this is my process. I went, all right, she's saved. She's got gifts. All right, let's go. I don't even know you that well. But here's what I do know. You show up. You show up before I do. Which I will admit was not my fault this morning. Anyway, I got teenagers. I love you. All right. Here's the thing. I want to see everyone come. And once Christ returns, I want to tell you guys, that's it. The game's up. You know this whole grace thing, the whole mercy thing, all that stuff? Well, when Christ comes back, it's done. You're toast. No, not yum yum. At that point, you're fried chicken. It's not where you want to be. Okay? You're out of time. You and everyone you know and love, and even those that you don't know yet, will be out of time. And yet, I'm telling you right now, there are people in this room that are going to walk out this door today, and we're not going to tell people about Jesus. Okay, let me be clear. God told us to do it, right? Go and make disciples. He told us how to do it. Love God and love others as you love yourself. Okay, so we got the order. We got the direction. We even are told that we get joy and we have joy in heaven when that happens. That you actually, I'll be honest, every time someone comes to the Lord and I've been a part of that, man, it's like the best thing in the world. It's the greatest high ever. I mean, everyone's looking for something to make them feel good. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm just going to say it's really cool. I'm going to tell you something. I had the best time up here sitting on that rocking chair telling the gospel story of Jesus Christ about how he has a mansion waiting for us. Did you know that's why Christmas Mansions exists? It's a message, folks. We don't do anything in the church without a message. And you're like, well, that's lame. No, it's not. That's what we're here for. And honestly, you came to a church. What did you expect us to do? We sang a song glorifying Jesus, and then I shared the gospel message. And I'm going to tell you right now, nobody came up to me last night. And I said, hey, if you accept Jesus, come up to me and let me know. I want to welcome you. But you know what I did here? I heard people praying the prayer. And I went home plenty happy. Because I don't know these folks. I don't know a lot of these folks. I don't know where they are, what's going on in their life. I don't know what church they're a part of. Maybe they want to go tell their pastor, not me. That's fine. I don't care. But here's what I know. There's a party in heaven that happened around the same time we were having a party here. And that makes me so joyful. So happy. And it should make every single one of you happy. When that happens in your life, when God has an opportunity to use you where you are, to reach out, even if it's this little, tiny, little seed. One of the things that one of my daughters does that I love so much is she always makes sure that when we leave the room or whenever we go somewhere and we're leaving, or she'll say, God bless you. I love it. I do. Because that's the stuff that matters. We should be a blessing to the people we're around. Did that verse say that the linen, the white linen, represents our good thoughts? No. It's our good deeds, which means you got to do something. You can't just think about it. Okay? We as a church want to see people come to Jesus more than anything else. So I have a question for you guys. It's my last question for the day. I'm going to leave you on this question. If you had only one thing that you could say to a person that you interact with. And it's the last thing you'll ever say to that person before Jesus comes back. What would it be? What would it be? It's rhetorical, honey. You keep it in your head. What would it be? What would you ask? What would you say? Knowing that in 10 minutes' time, Jesus is coming back. And time's up. What would you say? What would you do? I can't tell you how devastating it has been in my life to get to know folks and they're just gone. And what's the one thing we tend to always think about? Like, what was the last thing I ever said to them? You know, when my mom was dying on her bed, on her hospital bed, I made sure that the last thing I ever said to her is, I love you and I will see you soon. And that's it. I wanted to make sure that what I said to my mom was going to matter. Because too often, the last thing out of our mouth is something angry, something spiteful, or even worse, something just, some nothing. We don't care. It's like if you left the house and your friends or your family or whoever it was didn't even say goodbye to you. That's terrifying, isn't it? 10 minutes later, that's it. Done. Rolled over. Chances gone. That'll get you. I hope it did, because it got me. I say all of this for one particular reason. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that once you're in a conversation with someone, it should really be about salvation. If you only have one chance to have one conversation with a person, let it be about God. Let God be a part of every part of your speech, everything that you do, because honestly, you don't know if that person you're walking up to in that next cubicle or whatever it is going to be gone the next minute. You don't know. And I'll be honest with you. As I said before, miracles are wonderful. Speaking in tongues is awesome. Prophecy is amazing. But when it gets to heaven, none of that's going to matter anymore. And we want to make sure everyone is there. Because more than anything, people need the joy of knowing that they are registered in heaven. Stand with me today. Lord God, this message today is called Unexpected Joy. And the reason why it's called that, God, is because the people of Israel, the people of Judah, the folks that Jesus grew up with had no idea what salvation was going to look like. They didn't know where it was going to come from. And they really didn't think it was going to come from a little baby from a barn. Jesus was literally born in a barn. And yet he cleans up our messes. God, we find ourselves in these messes because we put ourselves there. We find ourselves in these messes because this world is broken and our bodies are broken. Your perfect image is smudged because of the sin that's in this world. God, we need you because you're the only one that can unsmudge us. You're the only one that can make us look beautiful again. You're the only one who saves us. And God, we don't have time to mess around because you're coming back and we don't know when. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. And I don't care how many signs are predicted to have come true or whatever it is. The Bible does say, Lord, that you are going to come like a thief in the night and we will not know the time and place. In fact, Jesus, you said you don't even know the time and place. Only the Father knows. One of these days, the Father God is going to go to his Son Jesus and say, hey, it's time, let's go. And that's it. And God, I pray that we will give just the littlest bit of a care for other people, that we would want to see them as part of the bride of Christ too. But they don't get to be that because they're nice. They don't get to be that because their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. They get that because they believe in you. Lord, I believe there's going to be people in heaven we are going to be surprised to see there. And I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be some people that we are missing and thought they were good. But no one's good enough to get into heaven except you. God, I pray for a restoration in our lives. I pray for that repentance that gets rid of the dirtiness that takes away from the purity of that linen that we wear as the bride, so that when we approach the King at the marriage supper of the Lamb on that wedding day, that the church would be white as snow. Lord, you forgive. You have grace for everything we've ever done. And Lord, I pray for folks here today, if they are feeling God's call on their life, that it's time to give their hearts to Christ, Lord, I pray that they would reach out to folks that they know and love, and they could pray together. Lord, I pray that I would be available for anyone that wants to pray with me, God. But Lord, I pray that your word will be done, that your kingdom would come. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Folks, we got our mandate. We know what we got to do, right? God is good. You guys have an amazing week.